Today, y'all, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Mr. Talk. And yes, we have an outstanding show planned for you today. We're gonna be talking about self-hatred within the black community. Hey, I'm sure that's gonna be something to talk about. So I hope everybody enjoyed their Memorial Day and you're ready for another great show. So just go ahead, sit back, get that cup of coffee, that soda, water, whatever it takes for you to relax, and get ready for the ride on the train. Oh yeah. Wow, man, I'm feeling pretty good today, I'm telling you. I am. And man, I tell you, hey, I went to the dentist's office this morning. Woo! Dr. Delaney and her crew, hey man, they took care of the bro. That's some good looking out. And prices are cheap too. Yeah. So y'all in the Killeen, Fort Hood area, y'all need to go and check that out. Because I mean, wow. Anyway, so what's happening with y'all out there? You know, it's been a long weekend. A very long weekend. Bible Benny, what's going on, man? Ooh, it's been a minute. Yes, 29-28. I see y'all there. Thank you for joining us. All right, y'all. So we got a good show today. And, you know, it's a lot of things that I want to talk about first before we get into the heat of the topic of the day. Because I got an issue with something. But you know what? I say that for my closing. I think that's what I need to do. All right, y'all. So today is Tuesday. That's right. It's Tuesday, May 28th, 2013. This is Let's Talk, and I am Mr. Talk. Now, if you want to join the conversation today, that's no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622, or email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or better yet, drop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson, and leave me a couple of comments, maybe a couple of suggestions for a title for a show. Or just let me know you're listening and you like what you hear or you don't like what you hear. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I take it all. And whatever you tell me, I use. Believe it or not, I do. So, hey, just let me know. That's all I'm asking. Let me know. All right. Now, now that we have that stuff out the way, let's go on and knock out the house rules because I have to get the house rules in. I came to the conclusion that if I don't say them, people calling in be like, I didn't know that was the house rules when I put them on the sideline. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do the house rules. And then when we come back, we're going to discuss it a little more. So here they are, y'all, the house rules. All right, y'all, and here are the house rules. As always, we encourage open dialogue. No matter who you are, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. What's on your mind? We love that. However, All right, I didn't like that. That's going to have to be redone. I'm telling you, I didn't like that at all. That sounded raggedy. Y'all know I'm not into doing raggedy. Anyway, here we go. This is what I'm going to say. All right, first and foremost, we encourage open dialogue. Open dialogue on this show. So usually when you call in, after you said your first initial comment, we usually leave your line open so you can interact with other callers. I'm one of the few on Blog Talk Radio that does that. However, we cannot have people talking over each other, okay? And here's the reason why. If someone else is talking, then you start talking, then somebody else start talking, you all may be making outstanding points. But what happens? You're all talking and nobody can hear each other, so all your points are mute. So that's why we emphasize no talking over each other. Give the other person respect. Respect their mic. Just like you would like for them to respect yours, you respect theirs. And a whole lot of things will start flowing. Now, if by chance that doesn't work, that's not an issue either. Because I would institute a 3-minute time limit, and I put my little clock right, and I just mute everybody, and everybody get 3 minutes to talk. And that's it. And we just keep going on until you get a little better. Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. All right. Now, also, when you're giving your 3 minutes or as you call in, please keep your responses and comments short as possible. We don't need no 10, 15-minute dissertations about why the color is blue. We don't need that because you're just eating up time from someone else's time to talk. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, we encourage you to call in, and we love to hear from you. We just don't want any long, unnecessary speeches. That's what I'm saying. So keep it short and sweet. And that pertains to both your comments and your responses. Okay? Now, here's the big one. Here's the big one that will get you kicked out completely. No personal attacks are allowed. You don't have no need of attacking anyone on this show, on the other line, or what have you. You don't know them. They don't know you. Okay? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Now, what I want you to do, if by chance you do decide, you know, when it comes to personal attacks, that just shows that you really have nothing to say about that topic. So instead of saying, I have nothing to say, or just keeping quiet, you want to attack someone. Well, I tell you what to attack. Attack the subject, right? Attack the subject. Attack what someone said. Heck, attack yourself if your breath smells bad. I'm just saying. But do not attack anyone on this show. That's one of the quickest ways to get you put on the sidelines. I'm just putting it out there. Okay? And, of course, if anyone violates these guidelines or these house rules, I would not hesitate to put a mute on you. And you may hear one of these great sounds right here because this lets you know you're on the sideline. All right, see? That's when you know you have been tased. You have been placed on the sideline, and that's where we're going to go. And as Benny said in the chat room, yeah, it could be a lack of maturity. Whatever it is, don't attack nobody on my show. Okay, lack of maturity or whatever else you want to call it, don't attack nobody on my show. That's right. All righty. Now that we have all that out of the way, we're going to go ahead and move right along. So let's talk, y'all. The song of the day. And, you know, I had a battle with what I was going to use for the song of the day. Because the title of the show is Self-Hatred, you know, inside the community. So what song of the day could I play to really get somebody's attention out there? What song was it? And believe it or not, I think I found a good one. I really did. I heard it in church the other day. I was like, you know what? This is a good song right here. First, though, before we get to the song of the day, we're going to go ahead and do the quote of the day. Now, some of you may get upset about this quote I'm about to read, but in a lot of situations, And a lot of people in our community actually feel this way. And that is what we have to work on turning around. Okay? So if you get upset, oh well. But I'm just explaining what it was. Oh, y'all thought I was going to apologize, huh? No, I wasn't going to apologize. Not at all. I don't need to apologize. We all trying to come to a successful conclusion about what we need to do. Okay? So here's the quote of the day. I am self-loathing, introverted, and neurotic. And that was by Megan Fox. Now, that pertains a whole lot to what's going on in our black community. And I know some of y'all like, no, he didn't do it. Yes, I did it. Because it's my show and I can do it. once again, I'm self-loathing, introverted, and neurotic. Once again, I say that's by Megan Fox. That was the quote of the day. Groovy, I see you out there, man. Thank you for joining. Vernon, I see you in the room on the switchboard. Thank you for joining, man. All right, y'all. It's that time. Let's make something happen here with the song of the day.
Yo, what's up? I'ma kick it with the line, y'all know. Yo, Slim, can I kick it with you? Here we go. Well, it's time to make that change. People of the world today are fading. All of us have our ups and downs. You better think about it or you won't be around. What we need is a little bit of love. Sent by one from heaven up above. Take a peek, it's simple and plain. This ain't no game, you know what I'm saying. What?
that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. It's time to make a change. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How long are we going to keep going in the same direction and blaming the same people? Huh? What? Did you hear that? It's time to make a change. It's gotten old now. We need to do something different. That's right. We need to do something different because something ain't working right. It's time to make that change. I hope y'all ready. Hey, somebody need to be ready out there, because how many of us got to keep going to saying it over and over and over again that it's time to make that change? It really is. Now, the question is, are you really going to put in the work to make the change? That's all I'm talking about, y'all. I don't know how y'all feeling today, but I am hype, pumped, and ready to go. I'm telling you. So let's get it on, y'all. Let's get it on. That's all I got to say about that too. All right, let's go on and start out with the show here. All right, as we always do before we get to the main topic, we give a couple of things we talk about that's happened in the news or around us. So here's the first thing. Republicans move closer to impeachment with claim that Obama is losing moral authority. And here we go again. Now, really, are we really gonna go through this all over again? You know, have you noticed only people they be trying, they're trying to impeach our Democrats when they're president? What's really? I know some of y'all say, no, don't forget about President Nixon. Okay, whatever. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, besides Nixon, who were the last two that tried to impeach? Huh? You know who it is. Hey, boo, I see you out there. Thank you for joining. All right. Now, here we go. Mr. Senator Ron Rand Paul. That sounds like old RuPaul, doesn't it? Y'all see, he ain't RuPaul incarcerated, put on a lighter coat of makeup. Anyway, Senator Paul said, I think the constellation of these three scandals ongoing really takes away from the president's moral authority to lead the nation. What the hell is he smoking? I'm just going to have to say that. What is he smoking, man? Really? Are we really? Is he really losing moral authority? Now, let's really look at this. How many of them in Congress really, really, really worries about moral anything? I mean, really? That's like calling the kettle black. The teapot calling the kettle black. Really? Are you really going to say here that the president is losing his moral authority when most individuals in Congress doesn't have any morals whatsoever? Yet now you want to try and impeach a president on that same grounds. Yes, they tried to do the same thing into Clinton in 1998. And then at that time, it was, guess who, y'all? Newt Gingrich. Yeah. They used the same moral authority argument against President Clinton back in 1998. Yeah. So, you know, it's just a word the Republicans like to use, I guess, when they can't find anything else. Now, I'm not saying that the President Obama has done everything correctly. I'm not saying that, because there's no perfect person, especially, you know, walking on this earth, period. But, by Benny said, Mr. T has gotten a lot lighter too. I mean, a lot lighter. See, I'm not going there. But you understand what I'm saying? Senator Paul, it's one of those things where they keep picking and picking and picking and picking. You know, Gingrich also tried to tie the rise in drug use and teen smoking to the Clinton-Gore administration. He also went and said that it has less moral authority than any in American history. So, now, if they try to use that on Clinton, now they're trying to bring up that old same argument again against President Obama. Why is this? You know, and why wait? And here's the funny part about it. Why wait till the second term? If you didn't succeed at first, you might as well give up in the second. Or is it just about just trying to tarnish the name so you can, they can put an asterisk by it? That is so fool crazy. And you wonder why we can't get along in this country, why we have so many problems. You know, the head of the country, the people that makes the laws and decisions, can't get along. Hell, how do you expect the rest of us to do it? And there's the rub. But nobody sees this. Now, the Rand Paul, he's making this accusation, right? Despite the fact that President Obama's job approval ratings are increasing, which, what, defy Raw Pan's claim that the president is losing more authority. Oh, can that be seen as two separate things? Or are the people in this country deemed dumb? I'm just asking the questions, y'all. You know. Oh, Lord. Now, and here's another factor that they seem, the Republicans seem to be, let's say, forgetting about. You know, that 61% of Americans think Obama is telling the truth about the IRS scandal and the president's job approval rating is going up. It's going up. 61% of Americans think Obama is telling the truth about the scandal, IRS scandal. What are they doing? What are they doing, y'all? What are they doing? Wasting our money, wasting our time. That's what they're doing. You know, if they want to do something, let's do something to help our homeless. You know, if you just got to waste time like that, let's waste it doing something constructive. Like the homeless, our veterans. Man, you know what? And I'm finna tell y'all something. You know, on my Facebook page, one of the soldiers that were with me in Iraq, and he was recalling a certain night where his vehicle had gotten hit by RPG and the IED. And as he was telling the story on Facebook, I recall that night. You know, now I'm looking at me. I'm back in the States. One of the other guys that got hurt is back in the States. And it's amazing at the stuff we have to go through just to try and get care. Now, listen, we ain't even talking about compensation because that's a battle all in itself. But yet, instead of trying to fix that problem, we got people steady going after the President of the United States. Why? Look, they need to stop trying to trump up a charge in order to attempt to impeach the president. Let's be honest with that. Okay? Stop it. Let's do something worthwhile. Like help our homeless. Helping the people that really need help. The elderly. You know, the ones that's just living on Social Security, barely getting by, but yet these banks are charging so many dangos, such high fees and carry on. By the time the people get their money, it's eaten up in fees. So now what they have to do? They have to go back and get out another loan to cover for what the fees have taken away. Really? But yet we worrying about trying to preach a man that has, what, a couple of more years left in office? Come on, y'all. How about fixing this food stamp program? How about fixing our education system? Why can't we spend time doing that? How about bringing your behinds back to work after a holiday? Everybody else has to go back after Monday. The Congress, they get an extended holiday. What the hell are you getting an extended holiday for? Why? It's not. Apparently, you're not doing too much while you're there already. So, what you need to extend the holiday for? See, that's the stuff I'm talking about right there. I know I'm probably making some of y'all upset, but it's okay. still love you. But I'm gonna say, I just got to tell it like it is. I really do. Okay. All right. Let me calm down. Let me calm down. Right, let me calm down. All right. Here's the next story, y'all. The Westboro Baptist Church is notorious. And y'all know that church that always wants to picket military funerals. Y'all know them. They be out there holding their little signs up, chanting little derogatory comments. You know? And basically, what they say is, you know, it's punishments from God for alleged sins committed by humanity. You know? It's amazing. And you know what's so funny about it? It's amazing how organizations like this wants to put God on everything. You know, it's like, it's God's way, it's God's way. Until if something affects them, then, oh, everything is okay then. Welcome back, Vernon. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Fred Phelps Jr., okay, he happened to be the son of the Westboro Church's minister. Okay, this clown made a public statement on his Twitter account that said the devastation, which he meant the tornado, in Oklahoma last week was humanity's punishment for the public support shown to Jason Collins, an NBA player who recently came out of the closet. Really? So God is going to punish a whole freaking state, right? Because they supported a man who came out the closet and said he was gay. Well, in that case, then I better run. I mean, there's a lot of people better run for cover because a lot of people in Texas did it, Florida. I mean, the whole nation. But he just chose Oklahoma, where the wind comes rushing through the plains. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is, I mean, it, you know, and that's the stuff we're dealing with today. Really? Hey, Ebony, I see y'all there in the chat room. Really? What's really going on? Oh, Lord. And, you know, this place, this church is so bad. You know, it's the church actually erected a new website. A website. A day after the tornado struck. Title, GodHatesOklahoma.com. Well, you know what? I never known God to hate a whole state. God don't hate y'all. He hates sin. Yeah, he dislikes sin. But that's a whole different thing. I mean, these folk here for the West Bank. And you know what's so funny, though? No matter what happens, they always seem to come around. You know, no matter what type of laws we pass or what have you, what they do, they still show up. Why is that? And that's just some of the things that this nation is going into now. This is supposed to be a church. It's more of a cult, religious cult, hating on things, hating on everybody. Because they believe everything that happens is because God is upset and he is destroying certain people. He's just picking out people. Well, let me put that tornado right there in Oklahoma. Yeah, that little boy right there just took that little girl candy. Let's send a tornado and destroy a whole city. Or let's destroy his neighborhood. You see how silly that sounds? I'm just saying, y'all. Y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just putting it out there. I am. I am just putting it out there. Yeah. Well, anyway, a hacktivist, people who got that hack, and I don't usually side with hackers, but in this case, I'm loving them because what they did, the one by the name of Jester, reportedly hacked the church's new website, HateOklahoma.com, altering its content and turning it into a donation page for the victims of the Oklahoma tornado. Now, You know what? I'm loving that. I'm loving that. You know, you know, hackers get bad names sometimes. But in this instance, yeah, I'm happy for he, somebody did that. So, you know, for those haters that always want to go out there, you go right ahead. So you helping them when you think you're hurting them. And that is the power of God right there. See, that is what God does. He makes a way for those that don't have a way. Y'all better wake up. It's time for a change. But yet, we still sleep on stuff like that. Look out now. Woo-hoo. Yeah. I told you I'm feeling good today. Ooh, boy, it's about to get hot and heated up in here. All right. I see my boy Mr. Lowe is in the house, so let me bring him on board and see what we'll talk about today. Mr. Lowe, what's happening? How was your Memorial Day, my brother?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing.
Man, I told you before, I don't celebrate these holidays, bro.
Well, you know what? No. Now, let's be honest, man. No. You know, this is a type of holiday that I will celebrate, because we both know people that we serve with that, you know, lost their lives when we were over there.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, and that is what that day is for, you know, to remember those people. It's not for us. That's, oh, now I'm getting into my closing. But anyway, that's what that's for, you know. And I know people all the way back from the Kuwait War, you know, Desert Storm, that also lost their lives when I was there. So, I mean, that's that is what that day is for. Now, a lot of people taking and changing it into something totally different, but that's really what that day is for.
So really?
Yeah, I have to disagree with you on that one, though. Go ahead.
I just read a blog a few minutes ago from a very reliable source that that Memorial Day actually came from something about something pertaining to slavery. but it was the slaves celebrating freedom, something to that effect.
Okay, well, you know what?
But
all right. You know what, though? You kind of can say those people are free, because they ain't got to be bothered with the mess on this earth anymore. But, okay.
If they wasn't all together, then the little hell they had here ain't about nothing, though.
Well, that's true enough.
Exactly. I heard you a few minutes ago about to deliver the whole sermon, when you were talking about the hacker.
What that got to do with delivering the whole sermon?
you almost brought a, that's the power of God, right? Hey, boy, I thought I was in church.
You know what? That's why I put that picture on Facebook, because you stuff like that. Yes, sir.
But I mean, you said that Memorial Day was more specifically for us and our fallen comrades. But if you think about it, there were a lot of people that were remembering a lot of people that never had anything to do with the military yesterday. And you know, to me, that's one reason why I say that I don't hold any day more special than another one. If it's not a particular holy day according to the scripture, I don't hold it accountable, because you should hold people high every day. You should give them their praise every day. You know, you should try to make amends with your brother every day, not just on a special day that these people decided to set aside for whatever reason. You know, and you know, of course, the family can't get together every day of the week or every month, but you know, don't just make it a 4th of July thing or a Christmas or Easter thing or anything like that. Make it who knows, July 21st or something. You know, just because that has
just
nothing
because,
to do with,
you know what?
Yeah,
I agree with you there. Just because, let's get together just because. Yeah. Yep.
Just because, yes, man. Hey, I tell you what happened today with me more specifically. You know, I like to I like to enjoy myself, and because, you know, I was telling someone earlier, you and I specifically have been in situations where there is no amusement whatsoever. For days,
right.
Nothing.
Right.
There is no happiness. And
right.
I don't try to live my life to be upset anymore or to have anything negative around me, especially someone if I know they have ill feelings for me. So, 2 days ago, I asked a guy at work, and it was probably four or five of us in the break room. Because we had always laughed and carried on, but for some reason, things changed, and it seemed like he had a problem with me. So I asked him, I said, hey, man, you got a problem with me or something? And he said he'd been had a problem with me. And I said, well, you know
oh,
what?
My.
Well, hey. Yeah, and I said, well, I tell you what, well, you know, now I know how to handle you, so, hey, you go your way and I go mine. I just won't say anything else to you. And so, you know, that was that. And I thought about it today. I said, you know what, I'm going to make this thing right. And so I went up to him. I said, man, whatever it was I said to offend you or whatever the case may have been, I apologize for that. You know, anytime I've said anything to you, in humor, it was always in harmony also. You know,
right.
I never have attacked you to say anything demeaning or anything like that because I consider you to be someone that I would call a friend more than just an associate.
Correct.
So, you know, and you know that it actually brightened up my whole day because, you know, the day was going, but it was still just that cloud hanging over, you know. And so I say,
yeah,
hey,
right.
You know, don't just wait till the time comes for you to pat dirt over somebody's face to remember them, you know what I'm saying, or anything like that. It should be on a daily basis, you know. I that's just how I see it, man. Me and my whole family that I married into, those people are so kissy. I mean, they could walk in and out the house 10 times, hey, how you doing? They kissing all on each other, this and that. You know, we didn't grow up like that. And to be honest, I actually respect it and I like it. I didn't at first because I didn't understand it.
Right.
With understanding comes wisdom.
There you
and
go.
So you know, I've fallen into it myself, you know, and it's something that I have also seen incorporated in my family because of me, you know, and just sending cards just because. You know, a lot of people, they disagree with me because I say I don't hold no holidays special. Every day should be a holiday, especially if it's somebody that you care about. You should let them know, you know. Me and Vernon have a grandmother that's still alive, man. There's a lot of people that can't say that. And I try to call my grandma at least once a week and just to hear her voice and say something funny, you know, just to get some joking out of her, you know. Yeah. A lot of grown people our age that don't have parents or grandparents anymore, you know.
Yeah, that is a true statement. Mm-hmm. That really is true. All right, well, okay. I still say Memorial Day. I'm going to have to say hello to Memorial Day. Yeah.
I know.
You know. And, you know, you remember Bayani? I don't know, you may not remember.
Yeah.
Yeah,
know
you know,
Bayani.
He put his story out there on Facebook today. You know, and I was telling the listeners earlier, you know, just reading what he put out there, I can remember being a couple of trucks ahead of him and seeing the blast behind me and being on the radio. The first thing I went to try and call their truck, you know, because, you know, we had radios in certain trucks, you know, and there was no answer. You know, and as I'm trying to radio up front, tell them something happened, you know, then we keep getting back, keep driving, you know, and it was frustrating. It really was. And, okay, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Okay, anyway, so, you know, and just as I was saying, you know, I can remember the whole scene, you know, everything that happened, you know, and a certain individual decided to drive off and just leave them, which... I'm not getting into that either. But luckily, both of them survived. But yeah.
I'm going to swing by his page. I skimmed over it briefly, but I'm going to skim over and read the whole thing this evening.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, I got somebody else with their hands up, so let me bring them in. Hey, y'all. I'm sorry. I just had to go there for a minute. 111, you're on the air. What's going on?
Why do you want to relive your GI battle?
What? Yeah, you know who it is.
Come on. Why do you want to relive your GI battles of the past?
Well, you know, certain things you're never going to outlive.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't, because you're not going to forgive, huh?
Yeah, oh, forgive and forget. Yeah. Well,
no, I say forget. Certain things you're not going to forget.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
so
if you've been in a firefight, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
If you look at the United States as a whole, you can't just say, oh, God hates Oklahoma. With everything that's happened in this country, this whole country is in torment, man. No place is safe in this country. I mean, you know, overseas, you get in certain areas, you get your little dust storms, this, that, whatever. You don't hardly get anything, but man, you get so much craziness here. I mean, in one day, it can be hot, cold, rainy, snowy, sleety. What in this country?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the people, you know, the people are crazy. You know, when you pop out of your mama's belly, they put vaccines in you. You get a little older, they have to vaccinate you again. When you get to be a teenager, almost a teenager, they put you on some kind of medication. Matter of fact, even before that.
Uh-huh.
When you get grown, they got you on some other kind of pill. And when you're old person, you own everything, you know. Only in this country, you know. They don't vaccinate their children in other countries.
I got some news for you, Lo.
Oh,
give it to me,
Joe. What is it, Joe?
Well, you know how Lo is always saying, Joe, why do you always got to talk bad about women? Why do you got to do that?
Oh,
well,
Lord.
There's a site, maybe Eric, you know it, maybe even Lo, you know it. It's a Blog Talk radio show. It's called Ms. Heartbeat.
Yeah.
And
I heard you guys talk about that.
Huh?
I heard you guys talk about her before.
I never talked about her before on this show.
Yeah, we mentioned it a couple of times.
Oh,
but
you
anyway,
might have mentioned
it. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, anyway, her latest show is about how mentally ill black males are and how narcissistic you guys are.
Hmm, quite interesting.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the show. I just saw the description page. So I know she's anti-male, so I didn't bother listening to the show because I know what she was probably going to say.
Look,
but I wanted to bring
that.
It up. Because, huh?
I say, imagine that.
Yeah, can you
imagine that? Most bulldaggers are anti-male, so you know.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
Well, you got to read the description page, because like I said, it says there that I think she said most or all black males are mentally ill.
That's fine.
You know. So I'm bringing it up because you're sleeping with the enemy.
Maybe we are. Maybe we, in some instances, yeah. I mean, but doesn't that fall into the? I'm glad you brought that up. That's a nice segue, Joe. Thank you. Don't you think that's a part of the self hatred that we're going through in our communities now? I mean, let's really talk about that thing. She's a black woman, but yet she's saying that all males are narcissistic, have mental issues, black males. Yeah, and okay. So, if that's the case, then what is she doing? Why does she feel that way? You know, she should be bringing the black. In fact, I talked to a lady today when I was in the dentist's office, Dr. Delaney. She on Fort Hood Road, y'all. Y'all check her out. Hey, they're great up there. But anyway, and I had to ask her. I say, well, this is a black young lady. And I was like, well, you know, tell me, I hear all the time that there's no good black man out there for black women. So I asked her, I say, so I'm not trying to get, but are you married to a black guy? She said, yeah. I say, so tell me, what is the problem? And the only thing this woman could tell me was, well, you know, I thought that at first. She said, I thought that at first, but what I find out is you have to mold them into what you want them to be.
God's
sake. You know, and she after that, I was like, oh, so now we molding individuals.
You know where she gets that from? You know where she gets that from? Hanging out with fucking white broads.
Oh, Lord.
But, white bros, know, and I'm going to tell you something. In terms of sexuality and gender, I don't want to say gender war, but the last hope for gender compatibility is probably with the black race, because the white society, men are nothing more right now, unless you're a blue-collar guy. If you're a white-collar guy, college graduate, you've been imbued with all the fucking liberal feminism bullshit, and you're nothing more than, yes, dear, white men are gelded individuals when it comes to they and white females. Now, they'll fight like a dog to protect the white female, but they won't stand up for their own rights to the white female except to a certain point. But black men at least have the balls to do that. And I have to say this about black females. They will admit that their gender in the black community, there is a certain deficiency in there about how they may treat their men. And if a black female puts her hands on a black male, she won't blame the black male for smacking the shit out of her. No white, very, 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 very few white females will ever admit that.
Okay.
Much less admit that they've done something wrong at all.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Well, I guess you may have a point there, Joe.
But, I got something else worse than that fucking Miss Heartbeat. One time I was hosting a show, and it was about, you know, female-male relationships.
Uh-huh.
And I played a clip where I came across a show. Well, 90% of the shows in B-tier are black anyway. But the thing is, this fucking show, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life in terms of the gender wars. Black females were blaming black men back in slavery for, quote, unquote, allowing their females to be raped in slavery.
Yep, I heard that too.
You knew about
that?
That is the most amazing fucking thing I've ever heard.
But you know what, though? That, you know, that kind of brings in that self-hatred thing again.
Yeah,
you know, when
sure,
you can't, you can't realize or really stand up to what's really causing a problem, and you want to blame everybody else or something else. You know, like actually, self-hate is a form of mental slavery. It has nothing to do with it. It's mental. You know, and that's what keeps the black neighborhood in poverty, keep them ignorant, and keep them in crime. You know, and as Dr. Clark Anderson said in his Power Numbers book, this is an example of inappropriate behavior. You know, that's why we have so much division and, you know, self-hate, because we just keep ourselves mentally in slavery. And, of course, that is not a good dang on thing. You know, like I like to say all the time, crabs in the barrel. That's what we have, crabs in the barrel. But hold on, let me bring this call in right here. Oh boy, don't get me started today. 661, welcome to the show. How you doing? What's your name?
This is Kat. I called up to annoy you guys today.
Oh well, hello, girl. Kat. How are you? I'm gonna have to remember that
I'm
number.
I'm doing good.
I don't want Kat on the show. She's going to start it on me as soon as she opens up her mouth.
Well, Joe, you the first one to open up, see?
I just did that because I know she would.
Either way. Hey,
so
welcome,
is,
Kat.
Thank you. I just sat down a few minutes ago. What are y'all talking about self-hatred about?
About grandmothers who have post-menstrual disorder.
Oh, Joe.
Oh.
Well, about it within the black community.
Oh, self-hatred.
Yeah.
Like men or women?
Oh,
are you
both.
Talking about self-hatred?
Both. As a community, as a society.
Well, what
as
prompted you to come up with? What prompted you to come up with this topic?
Well, what prompted me is hearing the different things that goes on every day in the neighborhood. You know, there's always one person putting down another, always calling one a sellout, always calling one, you know, he think he better than we are. Or the good one is, you know, the light-skinned guys get all the women around here. Things like that. It's just self-hatred, you know.
Yeah,
now, Benny,
yeah,
Benny in the chat room says blacks were programmed to self-hate. It's the Willie Lynch syndrome. Well, Benny, you know what? You know, it could be, you know, you could be the Willie Lynch syndrome. It could be to egocentric brainwashing, you know, but I mean stereotyping. But why? Why do we do this?
Well, yeah, well, did you see that movie by Spike Lee called Do the Right Thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the first person that an artist who really made a movie about the racism within the black community.
Did I see that? I know I saw the one with Danny Aiello as the pizza owner. Is that
No, wait a minute. It was School Days and Jungle Fever. It was those two.
Oh.
I think Jungle Fever was the first one in School Days where he divided, where blacks were called the Jigaboos, the Wannabes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, Eric. I really do. And, you know, Joe, when you go all the way back to slavery, mm-hmm. I can't use myself because I would have been dead. That's just me with the mentality that I have. But
you know what? Hold up
child,
before you go there.
Go
wait a minute, Lo, before you say anything. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. But, you know, that statement you just made right there, I was talking to somebody about that the other day. And it's easy for us to say things like that now. You know what I'm saying? But back during slavery, you know, I think about it, I'm like, well, would we really be as defined as we think we were would be?
That's a good point, Eric, because you've thought about that within the black community. I've thought about that in prison camps. And I've said to
mm-hmm.
myself, you know, when the Jews are rounded up, and if you take a look at the movie, right? And they just walk around inside the camps and they just bump into each other because they're all shell-shocked. And I've asked
mm-hmm.
myself, why, you know, the ratio is like 10 prisoners to one guard. I've asked myself, why didn't they riot? But
mm-hmm.
you bring up a good point. If you're there in that environment, as sure as hell is nice and brave, like, for example, fellow libertarians like myself, people talk about, well, we'd be out in the streets, we'd riot now, shoulder to shoulder. And I said, no, you wouldn't. Fucking people would come to your goddamn fucking door, bang down
what
the door,
to the
slam,
slaves,
you to the, slam you to the floor, and you'd be shitting in your pants.
What happened to Jews? What happened to people who were sent to concentration camps in Germany? They weren't taken from their homes to concentration camps. They were so demoralized and degraded before they got there. It was a systematic movement. They went from like their nice neighborhoods to the ghettos, and maybe they went lower than that. And by the time they got to the concentration camps, they had been stripped of everything, their wealth, their clothes, their good clothes. They were given prison clothes. They were already demoralized as a people before they got to. So all the psychological conditioning was already accomplished before they got to the concentration camps. By the time they got there, the last thing that they wanted was food.
And of course, that's the point I'm getting at, is that people can say right now when you're eating nice, good food, when you're breathing fresh air, when you have the freedom to go in and out of your house and you can talk to people and you can say, well, you know what, if that happened to me, blah, blah, blah. There are a lot of people who did die in resistance, and there are a lot of people who actually
did not die.
Huh?
There were a lot of people that did not die.
Right.
Because they were not going to rebel.
And that's the whole
thing.
But
in the black
community,
we don't
know what we would do under those circumstances.
Well, anyway, to go ahead and bring everything full circle so we can talk about, you know, Lo, I said I would have been dead. And just like today, if I'm driving home in my truck right now, if I'm stopped and I pull my license out and everything, and for some odd reason this bastard feels like he got to put his hands on me and slam me on the ground and all of this and all of that, if I don't die right then and right there, oh, we will see each other real soon. And you can put money on that. Just what I said.
What do you mean?
You can't read through the lines. Just what I said. If you can't read through the lines, it's tough. Nobody's going to handle me up like that. And for children to have been raised on a plantation and for their parents, more especially their mother, to beat the hell out of them because they looked up at a white person or something like this or like that, it was already instilled in them from the beginning. You don't do this to white people. White people do this to you. White people can do whatever they want to you. They already had that in them with, from children. You know, you had those that rebelled, and they would take the stronger ones and beat them and kill them, kill the stronger ones in front of everybody else to bring about fear. And that's how you begin to bring people all the way down to men knowing that other men coming out raping their wives and having their way with their daughters, and they don't say anything about it, just in the name of self-preservation.
But don't you think, Lo, that when a woman says, well, you've got to blame men for not protecting us, and the men are going through the same situation that the women are, I don't see how the women can say they should have died protecting us.
Well, Joe, in that situation, I agree with you, because the first foolish bitch that said that was just a damn fool anyway. That was crazy for anybody to say, you know. You already
don't
know.
Take people with broad brushstrokes, though. You say women this and men that, and that's just not the way the world is.
Pat, that's in your
Pat, I'm talking
about
a direct quote from a woman.
You said women say. You didn't say a woman said.
That's before you got here.
Right.
I heard what you just said. You said women.
Right.
Women.
As a matter of fact, I've heard a few women say that before. Women said that men should have died protecting them and should have died ensuring that they didn't get raped during slavery, and they blamed the black man for this and that during slavery. Mm-hmm. My question is, while you was in there cooking all that food, why you didn't make a nice glass pie for all of them? Sweet.
So all your resentments are coming from slavery? Is that what you're saying?
I don't listen, woman. I don't give a damn about any of y'all.
No.
I got
to
take care of mine.
Okay.
No.
All right. We kind of got out.
They're talking about a topic of self-hatred in the black community, and I was adding to it by talking about what some black women had said on that particular show, which they had hosted.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't have resentment towards anyone. I speak passionately about things that I care about. And, you know, if I don't know, Eric put a disclaimer out there in the beginning, you know, and if people don't have enough about themselves to say, oh, okay, well, he didn't like that, I won't get offended by it just because he didn't like it. You know, I don't know. That's a little bit much to me. People in the United States are too sensitive.
Fuck that. If people are offended by what people say when they're not attacking that person personally, that's their fucking problem.
I agree with that.
Well, I just have one question. Where's Michael?
Do you want to start another
right
fucking
now.
Riot?
We're good right now, though.
You know what? I bet you were like a pig in shit when Mike was sticking up for you.
Oh Lord!
Here you are telling.
What are you talking about?
Here you are. You're calling him a fucking pedophile.
Wait, I
protect him, and he's trying to start trouble between you and me, and you're going along with it like a damn fool.
Joe,
why was Mike protecting me?
Remember the last show? Okay,
Joe,
Eric, I hear you. It's
Joe,
okay. You want me to keep my mouth shut? My mouth shut.
Hey, Joe, let me say one thing. Have you ever known me to need protection?
No.
All right.
Okay.
All
but
right.
They,
now that we
as far
have
as those, yeah, as far as those Jewish people go, the people that converted into being called Jews, those people were given too much fluoride in their water. And then fluoride basically just made them very docile.
What you're saying, and also what Kat said a few minutes ago about the incremental stripping down of their dignity through various ways before they ended up in the prison camp. Yeah, all that had a lot to do with why these people did not rebel against their prison guards. You're right.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I can't understand is, you know, I can't understand that how stuff can make you so much. I mean, if you don't have stuff, you're nothing. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand that. If you don't have stuff, because you're so used to having stuff and stature, and people lie to you and kiss your ass because of what you have so they could probably lick your boots and get a little something, then you mean to tell me as a man you don't have enough about yourself to say, you know what, to hell with that. That was just some things
you
that
know
I
what
didn't
I,
eat anyway.
You know what
find
I think
out
it
who
is?
I really am.
I think it's because of this. It's the stripping away of not just stuff and stature, but our fellow men and women are doing this to us for no reason except that we exist. The reason why there's a continual striving for world domination is because of the motivation within the evil person to do it against the weaker person. That weaker person didn't do anything against the stronger person except exist.
You know what, Joe? What you're talking about is Carl Jung wrote books about which exactly that philosophy, that the evil exists. And specifically what happened in Nazi Germany was that this mindset was already there within the individual. It's like a pack of rabid dogs. I mean, dogs, your dog might be great, but he gets out there and starts roaming with a bunch of other dogs. And one of those dogs is aggressive and a killer. The other dogs are going to turn into that too. So that's what happened. And that, you know, in America right now, it's never been more divisive, not in my lifetime. And every group is in competition with every other group, especially minorities and poor people.
Kat, I have to disagree with you right there, because the black community is only in competition with themselves right now. Let's be honest. That's what it is. Now, as far as other races, you know, you don't have all the self-hate that we have in our communities. Well, you don't have each other killing each other at the rate we're killing each other. Why is that? Well, because – okay, go ahead, Kat. I'm waiting.
Well, I strongly believe, and there's one reason.
And what is that?
The CIA needs money to run covert wars. And as a matter of fact, this is something that I really keep trying to talk to you about, but I forget to ask you. And we are guarding – are you kidding? You don't think the CIA brings drugs into the black community? You don't think that your young black men are systematically being destroyed?
Well,
don't
yes,
think
I
your
believe
schools-
that.
Who are you asking? Everybody on here agrees with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's documented. Not on this time, Alex Jones is right. Wells Fargo has already paid something like almost, I think, $1 billion to the SEC because they were caught laundering money for drug cartels. Yeah.
The European royals have their own banks. They launder the drug money through their own banks. There's no accountability for any of this money. The money is sucked out of the black community. It's a fact.
Okay. Once again, I have to disagree. The money is not sucked out. We're giving it to them.
It's
not being sucked out. We're giving
it
to them.
Well, through addiction.
We're making everyone else rich besides ourselves. That's what we're doing. Right.
I agree with you.
You do have a racist problem toward whites from black women, though. Black women will open up a beauty shop. This happened in Dallas. Just listen to me a minute. It opened up in a nice year. There was a period there in the 90s when they had so much more, commercial space, and they were renting it dirt cheap. So these black women came in, and they opened up this really nice beauty parlor. I didn't know it was a black beauty parlor, you know. I just went in there just to get a hair trim. I just have long hair. I keep my hair trimmed on the ends. That's all I ever do. I just went in there, and there were all these black women in there. Nobody would wait on me. I just wanted them to trim the tips of my hair. That's it. And they did this. Why did they come to a white area and open up a beauty parlor with a black only going to serve black women? That makes no friggin' sense whatsoever.
They did that because it was a nice place.
And plus, probably there were other, professional black women in that area that needed to have their hair done. Now, they may not have done it.
Black women in Dallas go to the beauty parlors that will take anybody. I mean, when you make a lot of money, because I've done it, when I made money, you don't mind spending $50 on a good haircut. So if you just, I just needed a quick trim.
Well,
no, that's not it. They didn't last there.
Then again, also, you don't have black hair, so they may not have been able to do it either.
No, I'm going to agree with Kat. If they're opening up a black shop in a white neighborhood, they have to expect every once in a while some white patrons. Now, if they don't want to serve the white patron, that to me, as a libertarian, that's their choice. But if they're going to do it out of racism, Well, again, you know, it's their choice, but why? I mean, why not take the extra $50?
Well, they didn't last. Mm-hmm. They had to move. I mean, well, nobody was going.
But getting back to what you were saying, Eric, about, you know, you're talking about self-hatred in the black community, and you're saying there isn't a competition. There is. Immigrants are taking your fucking jobs.
Once again, and I'm going to say it once again, they're not taking anything.
They're not.
I'm just keep saying, they're not taking it. We're giving it to them.
Let me ask a question.
On a silver platter.
If anyone can tell me, how does an Arab Muslim sell pork?
He doesn't. They don't like pork.
Okay, but they can sell it.
They sell pork in the
They can sell it.
Pork.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They do sell pork in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
For black customers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But if this is something that you see to be horrible, oh, pork, oh, are you crazy? I wouldn't touch this stuff. If you see it that way, but you'll sell it?
But if they're going to sell it to their customers, what's wrong with that? It's like a person
You have some people that have stores, convenience stores. They don't drink alcohol.
Right.
And they won't sell alcohol.
Well, okay, but there are people, I'm sure, who own 7-Elevens, and they were probably, and they are probably alcoholics. They don't drink, but they know that their customers drink, so why can't they sell alcohol to their customers but yet abstain from it themselves?
I go with that. Like I said, if there's so much against pork, why would they even sell it?
Okay, what's
the people who want to buy it?
Okay. Why don't people like Michael Jordan invest back in the black community?
Who says he's not?
And there's the rule.
But who says he's not? I know Michael Magic Johnson has, but who says Michael Jordan hasn't?
He is investing. All them high-priced
Jordan
tennis shoes come out. That's an investment. His investment.
You know what I've heard the complaint about that, though, is that all that money is going to the white ownership and not to
the
black community.
His shoes that before he retired, you know, because the jump man, the little emblem symbol on the shoe, that actually belonged to Nike. Now, when he came out and brought out his own Jordan shoe, you know, that should have been different. Now, his Jordan shoe is not a brand specifically of Nike. There's a difference there.
Well, it should be, because if that swoop,
if that swoop
is patented by Nike, it belongs to Nike, yeah.
Right, and that Jumpman, that's also Nike, regardless if he was the guy doing the act or what. But Michael Jordan is going to do any and everything in his own best interest. You know?
And he should,
Yeah, and you had a guy had a tennis shoe, very nice looking shoe. Starberry is the brand, and then like $40-$50.
Talking about Daryl Strawberry?
No. Starberry.
Oh, Starberry.
Starberry is the name of the clothing line. I think it was tennis shoes and shirts, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Black people would not buy the shoe because, the Jordans, they were just comfortable. That shoe, I mean, it was just cheap to me. Anything tangible, that anything we can get our hands on that costs a little bit more money, we want everybody to know that we bought it, whether we can afford it or not. We'll go without the things we do need.
Well, doesn't this
is what black people do. Black people do these things somewhat to show white people, hey, I can buy a couple of things like you can, but mostly to show the black people around them, hey, look at what I got.
Well, then doesn't this boil down again to parents setting the bar in terms of guiding their children in the right direction?
You can't wait on that, Joe. What it is it's a psychological thing, but business people understand it. The lower classes keep the upper classes going. The lower classes keep everybody going. The middle class keeps the upper class going. Everybody wants to imitate the upper class lifestyle. So it's only until upper classes turn against a specific government program a perfect example is the Vietnam War, that we get rid of it. Until then, the lower classes, and when I say classes, I mean economic classes, because this is a problem. You say this is just a problem in the black community. It's a problem in the white community, too. There's self-hatred, and I can't even compare it. I'm not going to even compare it.
No, bring it up. No, because I already talked something about that.
Look, the gender wars between... Huh? You cannot... There's no way you can compare the two. It's not. You can't do that because it's totally different circumstances. But hold on, let me bring Vernon in.
Okay, as long as it's not Mike.
All right, Vernon, what's going on, man?
Cuz.
Hey, I heard low, so I chimed in. I chimed in because I heard low on, and I agree with 99.9% of everything that low says.
All righty then.
The cousins are here.
What's going on, people?
What's up? How'd you enjoy Memorial Day?
Not a day for enjoyment, I know. Well, not a day of the week. That was it. What's going on? What are we talking about here? What we got going here?
You ain't been listening, man.
I've been listening, but I've been kind of busy, Eric. I've been hearing a little different stuff, and I heard some things about Michael Jordan contributing back, and what Magic Johnson has done, what we got going.
Well, the last thing that was said was Kat was saying self-hatred just doesn't go on in the black community. She said it happens in the white community also. And I was saying that you cannot compare the two because it's totally different circumstances. You understand? Number one, the white community has all the resources. You know what I mean? They have all the resources. Well, as in the black community, we don't have the resources. And instead of us working hard together to try and get the resources, we too busy fighting and hating on each other, whether it's for skin color. You know, because back in the early 1900s, they used to have a thing called a brown bag test. You know, if you was lighter than the color of this brown bag, you was accepted. If you were darker, you wasn't accepted. And some way today, believe it or not, that is still going on because we are some of the most stereotypical type people. Yeah, look it up. Yeah.
Well, you know, last night on the Perry Steele show, or the other night, I put a link to the Chief Justice. Somebody brought up an issue that all lawyers are crooked and no damn good. Well, I put a link into our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Texas, and he's a black man, but he's not very dark. And I've heard him in interviews, and it must have been his great-grandfather was a slave, and he told a story about his great-grandfather leaving slavery and asking to go back in because he acquired so many debts he wanted to work the debts off, but he wasn't allowed to. It was illegal.
Mm.
So, you know, you talk about people, I don't know if that's self-hatred or whatever, but he wanted to get rid of it. But anyway, he's a black man. The people denied, the black people that looked at the website and looked at him denied that he was a black man because of the color of his skin. But clearly, he's an African-American, you know?
Is that clear? I mean, that's a good one. I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
If everybody can see it, that's one thing. But, look, the reason I say that.
Do y'all remember Dinah Shore?
Yeah.
She was black.
That's what she was purported to be, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and once again, and especially Imitation of Life, you know, I know you've seen that movie where the girl was so bright.
I had a mammy all my life.
Exactly. You know, so, and that's the way it was. If you were bright enough, then yes, they went ahead and accepted you as one of the upper level individuals. Now that's where the house person came from and the field person came from, you know, the color of your skin most of the time. They figured if you were lighter, as bright, you know, you were more intelligent or trainable, I guess you can say. So it's those type of things that just, you know, inside our community, huh?
What I want to hear about is how, okay, we all know that black people the first time around, 98% of you voted for Obama because first black president. Now that he, after his first administration, when everybody has finally seen he didn't do shit for poor people, not just black people, but he didn't do shit for poor people. I mean, you know, all this bullshit about spending money. Now all of a sudden he's not black anymore. This is what I want to know.
That's me too, Joe. That's a hypocrisy there. Oh, well, Obama's not black. He's got a white mother, a white grandmother, and then he's
white.
Hold up.
That man is still black. I don't care what anybody say. Just like I told
Goofy. Even last week when he did the ceremony
speech.
For graduates.
The
commencement speech for Morehouse College. He actually admitted that it was black, you know, because he said, you know, someone like me, like you, could be president. So he admitted it. So who said he wasn't? When did he say he was black?
A lot of black people who have been disappointed with this guy. When they saw him as a messiah and a beacon of hope, they said, a black guy, yeah! Now that he's in office.
That's another thing. Yeah, why are we always in the black community, and this part of the thing that's killing us, why are we always looking for that savior? Why are we looking for somebody
what have I been
get
saying
us
on
all
your
together,
show
unite us, and together we're going to fight the revolution, and not until then will we raise up and take what is ours. You know why? Because we too stuck in trying to kill each other and waiting on that instead of getting off our lazy asses and doing something about
it. What have
it?
I been saying for months on your show? I said the best thing for black people to free themselves of the mental chains is to stop looking for a messiah and just do the parenting thing.
Here's another thing that goes with that, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the generations. Now, you have some generations that are still going to fight the younger generation because this is the way it was done. It has been done. This is the way it will continue to be done. You know, have some of the younger generations going, no, we need to change this. This is what we need to do to, you know, flourish, to get where we need to go.
Right.
But, you know, and then you get that's where the hatred and the battles come in at, because you have those that want to and those that don't. So
well, maybe
you,
so, Eric, but it's different. Isn't it still the responsibility of the parent to fight these particular types of obstacles?
You have a lot of kids living with grandparents. So the grandparents' morals and ideas are being taught to that child. So they automatically...
That's what I said the other day.
Go ahead.
Well, there's so many ideas you're bringing up. I'd just like to say two things. You're right. That's why I brought up the other day. It's the grandparents who pass on the traditions and the values that child needs, because that grandparent has just like this easy relationship with the child that the parent doesn't have. The grandparent doesn't have to discipline, although I do. But you know what I mean? It's just like the passing on of traditions especially comes from the grandmother. Grandmothers, if you've noticed in a big family, like when the matriarch dies, that older grandmother, the family kind of like falls apart. They don't have their big celebrations together. Well, anyway, but I'm going to say something you all can jump down my throat. The biggest problem that you have facing the black community is your illegitimacy rate. You can't deny it because you are not passing on assets, real estate, estates, property to your children. And that's when you talk about materialism with children, people know, oh, I'm not going to be able to pass anything on to my child. Of course they're going to go out and buy that child Air Jordans and whatever, because that mother is going to do whatever it takes to make sure that kid looks good and can go out and present himself as a middle-class child. Do I make any sense?
Yeah, you make sense on that one. I can't argue with that. But hold on, let me bring somebody else in. You probably talked up. All right, 111, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, it's Ebony. Hi.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Ebony.
Hi,
everyone. You calling in on Skype, huh?
No, I'm calling on my house phone because
okay.
I'm at trying to organize my show. But yeah, hi everyone. I just think it's a really good subject tonight. I think you have a good topic there, Mr. Talk. You know, I always admire your topics. Yeah, but I guess, you know, it's good. But I wanted to say that I agree with Kat, you know, that, you know, we need to invest more in families in the black community. I think, let's be, you know, kind of honest, that I think the white community has contributed to the separation of black families. And I think it's kind of, you know, interesting that people now sit back and say, well, you know, why don't, you know, we have more marriages in the black community? And why is there that, you know, that inability to pass on to our next generations? Well, you know, slavery was a big contributor and colonialism didn't help. And now you're asking for us to, you know, strip away some of the stuff that really, really separated us in the beginning. And it's not even so much all of that, because we can say all of that's gone a long while now. But we've also got, you know, welfare systems that again separate families. So when you are poor, you know, there is a real fight for resources. And that's in the home too. So you've got single moms who in the UK who can survive better without having a partner. So if the state starts to jump in and support the separation of families and not encourage people to be in marriage unions, because in the past, of course, if you were married, there was more chances of your survival. You actually lived longer. That was the truth. That's how stats say it, you know. Marriage actually supported long life. So, you know, when you turn against that as a state and as governments, then people also turn against it, and they aren't. It's going to be a long road back to where we should be. So I think you need to kind of get to the bottom of self-hate. It isn't as simple as it looks, that actually we just don't love ourselves. You know, there's a lot of support for not loving yourself, so it takes a lot of consciousness to actually see who you are and see how, you know, the systems out there support the separation between us as black people. If you look at Blog Talk and you look at the number of topics that are about disharmony in black families, that tells you something about where we are. And more topics come up which actually support more separation, right? Why are black men cheating? Why do black men hate black women? You know, all these subjects which are not about enforcing and supporting us coming together. It's actually dividing us even more. So that's just my point. That's what I wanted to put in. It's going to have people
very good.
That's
very
seen
good,
the world.
Ebony.
You know what, before anybody else comment, I'm going to say this real fast and y'all can talk. You know, and this exactly what Ebony said, and you know, the self hatred. I'm thinking in a lot of cases, it helps certain blacks avoid situations that would help them be free and independent and active and in shape in their lives, because they use that as a crutch to always fall back on when something fails. You understand?
Yeah.
And that's another one of the self things that self hatred does to us, individual. And in the community. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry, Kat.
Well, another issue that the black community suffered the worst from was feminism, because feminism did not praise the woman who wanted to be a homemaker. I was there when that ERA amendment was being, you know, sent around. Thank God it never passed. It was to give special rights to women. I don't think anybody should have special rights. I think that we should have our constitutional rights and whatever rights that our states give us. I don't think that the federal government has any business giving special groups special rights. That's
okay,
just my opinion.
Okay, I got two people coming
but
in.
But what happened?
Hold on for a minute.
Can I just say one more thing about black women? Black women were left out of the feminist movement, because the feminist movement really dealt
with white
women who wanted to enter the job force, especially in the managerial level or above. So as homemakers and as women who worked in factories and things like, and, you know, clerk jobs, we didn't get those rights. You know, it all went to the upper class, and now feminism has transferred into like a eugenics movement, and it it really supports lesbians, gay rights more than it does women at all. So
wow.
It's like women, you know, and that's the way I see it. I'm just speaking from my worldview. If
hey, Kat, why don't you stop telling the truth so much?
I don't know. Well, I get in trouble. I said, will that get me in trouble?
At least we do. But let me bring two new callers on. 111 and 708, your mics are open. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? It's Chris.
Oh,
yeah,
what's
how
up,
you
Chris?
Doing? It's Michael.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Mike.
Oh, boy.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. Let Chris go first. Go ahead, Chris. What you got to add to the topic?
When I was hearing, I pressed when I first jumped in. She was talking about the feminist movement. This woman was talking about the feminist movement. This is true.
Uh-huh.
The feminist was only for white people and white women and white women only. It had nothing to do. Feminist movement doesn't have anything to do with black women. It never did. I don't know if it really started. The transition from the whatever the white feminist movement was about to now it being lesbian and gay, I don't see too much of a change. The feminist movement for white women was we're equal, just like
men.
All right. Who doing the whispering?
Yeah, that's why I stopped.
Oh, okay.
We're equal. White women's feminist movement was just trying to say, hey, we're equal just like men are, not so much in the work industry, but we're here in society and we can do what men can do as
mm-hmm.
far as
and have as much sex as men. Yeah.
Well, I think the feminist movement for white women was trying to pretty much dominate a man for being a man. We're better than a man, and we can do this just as much as a man, or even more. And I see that movement going into, it started with white women, it's going into other cultures, saying that almost to the point where I'm the head of this household, not the man.
Yep.
Hmm.
Trying
All
to
right,
bring
go ahead,
bullshit democracy to other people. Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing? You know, I must say, you guys talk every day about us getting together. We talk about all these subjects, how people are crazy. And I just must say, just listen to you. This is the problem. We're talking about women, and you guys are dividing people by color. And guess what? The whole conversation is never going to go nowhere. You keep on dividing. What about human beings? That's what's wrong. We keep on talking about this man-woman conflict. And we keep on dividing men and women against each other. Man do this, man do black and white. Then when we talk about communities, we always talk about the black community. Soon you signify the black community, you're saying another community is better. This is sad. And what I'm saying is all this feminist movement about human rights, why did a movement must start? Because someone was getting mistreated. That's why a revolution or a movement must start. And I'm just saying we go all around this total chaos. When you guys are talking about merge, the structure, the whole thing is total chaotic. Because how we talk amongst each other, our philosophies, theories, never worked. Look at the divorce rate. You're talking about two-parent family homes. They're still unsuccessful. Half of them have been in divorce. So we still have to talk about how human beings, how men and women communicate each other. Stop saying black and white. It has no – so we're going to keep on listening. We've been talking about these issues for thousands of years, and we keep on talking the same way. Merge is a struggle. Merge is war. Merge is going ups and downs. Why would someone get married? If you're in a single family, you're going to be a better person. Bunch of lies. You know what I'm saying? So when you guys keep on talking about black-white issues, you're talking about division. You're not going anywhere. Talk about how human beings treat other human beings. And that's why they had a view, because women were getting treated. And I'm going to say this and be quiet. If men were getting treated a certain way, because us, we get men's, and we get treated tremendously in a society different than women, we're going to be upset too. Okay? So we all have to look at how we all treat each other, man. That's all I wanted to say.
Goodbye.
Can I address that? May I address that? I can't let this go.
Go ahead.
When the feminist movement, there was no black voice at the table, Mike. There was no black woman at the table. Black women rejected feminism. What starts out as a movement has many of them have unintended consequences. The unintended consequences of the feminist movement is what we're living today. We have high divorce rates, high illegitimacy rates. We have women who have been taken advantage of because industry got a cheap labor force. What we gained, I don't know. The sexual revolution, I could have done without it. I'm sorry, but there were so many unintended consequences of the feminist movement that it just did not work. And the only people that still hang on to it are lesbians, and that's the truth. There is no women's right movement anymore. Feminism made men feminine. That's what happened.
That is the truth, and that is the truth. Man, feminism.
I like that.
Made men less of a man, and I do see it as a black-white issue. It is. I will continue to keep talking about divisions of black and white until there is a unity. There is no unity in the black and white community, and the feminism movement destroyed the black community relationships and marriages, and it destroyed black and white communities to this day. Feminism has done nothing but destroy communities.
And what did I say with regards to what Kat just finished saying? What did I say when I got on the show about how men, white men, are gilded? What did I say?
Oh, yeah. They don't have any nuts. You're right about that.
All right.
You're right about that. And I have a neighbor. Oh, my God. Oh, my, he's like the world's worst for that shit. Man, you know.
Henpecked like a fuck, isn't he?
Man, his old lady might as well have running cleats on, and his back got spiked.
Well, see, Kat, listen, I just want to say something, Kat. When we had less divorce rate, let's watch. Cause y'all, that's funny. Yes, it's funny, man. When the divorce rate was real low, how was the world? Let's go back in time. If you want to go back in time, when the divorce rate, when families was together, how was the world? We had slavery. We had racism. We had world wars. The world still was in a better place. So y'all can keep on going, get together and say, if we get all these families, we still be in chaos. It hasn't changed anything. We still going to have to talk about how people do it. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm fat. When I get married again, there will be no struggle. And I'm letting you know there will be no leader in my merge. We're going to be one unit.
Hold on,
you're cutting me off, and I'm only going to take 10 seconds. Shut the fuck up. There's not going to be no leader. We're always going to be in a compromising situation. And if you guys tell me that I'm going to be a feminine because me and my wife is going to be one unit and there's not going to be a leader, okay. You can call me gay all you
I don't think about attacking folk on my
Thank
show.
Thank you, Eric.
Craziness. I wasn't calling any man gay. It's not calling a man gay by saying
you don't have to explain this. It's self-explanatory.
Eric,
being gay.
I know you the host, and I know it ain't my decision. I wish you wouldn't let Michael back on this motherfucker, man. I get sick of that dude, man.
I'm just
being real, man. Half the time, I don't even come in here because he's fucking talking. You can't get nothing in with him, man.
And I'm going to second that, okay?
And I'll go, too, if he could be banded. But being gay and looking your man card or your manhood, it's two different things. That's a choice. A man wants to be gay, that's fine. But when you have been subjected and been told so many things, you accept it. Oh, okay. Then you've been conditioned to in yourself
emasculated.
Yeah, you've been emasculated. Thank you. Oh man,
mm-hmm.
That's a difference. So no, you're not calling a man gay. That's been emasculated. It's a difference, and feminism has done that.
Right. That's Mike's interpretation. That's not mine, and I don't know if it's yours or anybody else's, but that's Mike's interpretation.
Yeah,
right.
But I, you know. forced to leave relationships because I refuse to be masculine and be talked to the old kind of way. So that's my situation.
See, something that you know, and I don't really want to go back over nothing Michael said, but see, what you got to understand is before you try to go out, I'm looking at everybody's house in my community right now. Before I can go over to their houses and say, well, hey, we need to do this, y'all need to do that, I need to make sure that my house is straight before I go over to anybody else's house.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody under the low headshed need to be on the same accord. If we're not, then we're going to bring our problems over to somebody else's house.
Mm.
So, you know, it's one thing for you to say, well, we need to just talk about people. This and no, there are groups here. Even within the group that I'm a part of, there are different groups in that. You got people black, black, black. You got people light, 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 green eyes, gray eyes, even some blue-eyed black people. And with all those differences, somebody is going to look within that group and say, oh, that motherfucker with them blue eyes think he cute. That bitch with them green eyes thinks she pretty. That light-skinned bitch thinks she all that. Even within just this one group, white people, you don't have that many problems as far as your complexions. Maybe hair, maybe eyes, yeah. But just within our group, we have so many differences that we would need to iron out just amongst ourselves before we go over and try to throw our stuff on anybody else and say, hey, kumbaya, let's make this a better world.
Mm.
Well, you know, one thing black men need to do is to demand that your younger black men don't wear their pants down around their butts.
That's not just young black men. You got older fools doing that too. You know.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know, I want to ask a question here, and I'm serious. Okay, now we see that in the society we live in, that most of the time, a girl that gets pregnant isn't going to be with the child's father. They're not going to be married, not even dating. So would it make a young man more responsible for that baby to leave the hospital and to be in his care? Screw he needs his mom and fuck that. I mean, we've dealt with that, and you see the society that we live in with that. Will it make a man more responsible for that child to leave the hospital and he have to be responsible? He have to work and have daycare and all these things.
All right, before we get into that, I wanted to talk about what the lady was talking about with the pants sag.
Pants hanging down.
Yeah, go ahead. Because you cut her off, I think. I don't know, she was saying something.
No, that's all she was saying about, you know, guys wearing their pants above their asses, basically.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
All right.
And what gets me is women want to go out with them. I mean, it's very juvenile looking. I have two granddaughters. And
it's
if they brought a man home, it is. If they brought a guy, no, I don't care if he was, you know, they're young. They're in elementary school. But if they brought some guys home as teenagers, oh, my God. I would lose my mind if they brought a guy home who wore his pants down around his butt. I don't care what color it is.
Well, first, it's already got to be in their head. You ain't bringing nobody to my house like that. Well, because
they know.
It's been consistent for women to find men attractive, looking at their worst, bummy as hell, to look like. I remember in the 80s, okay, I was African all day. Listen to X-Clan.
All day.
I had my African medallion on with Africa wearing African clothes, and women found that attractive. It was like, and you know, spit the knowledge, do that. Or then I went through another phase where I had the Jerry curl, or the S curls and the Kefir curl and anything like that. So I found women found that attractive. They were conditioned in that time, in that era. What I'm saying is to like what that man is looking like. And back then, light-skinned black men was in. It was like the Al B. Sure thing. It was so hot to be with a light-skinned black man. And now it's like, it's just the sign of the times. Today, whatever you see that women find attractive about calling a black man or any man a thug or a hoodlum, it's hot. Or dark-skinned black man, it's hot. You know, so it just,
Big Chris, is it in for a man to, okay, let's say he wear a size 36 in jeans. He get them a size 34, 33, or 34, and they sag, they skinny jeans, and they sagging them. And he can get them. That's sexy. That's him.
If it happens a lot, yeah. And now we got like more, as you can see, media attention to what's going on with rappers and music. And if they exploit that a lot, yeah. Now, if Lil Wayne, I'm telling you, if Lil Wayne in the next 2 years wore Gucci suits and gaiters, you'll see all those guys that was wearing those skinny jeans and the pants that's hanging and all that would automatically overnight start trying, you know, go to K&G's and put on nice suits and sweaters and hats and ties overnight. Yeah. If they advertise it enough, yeah, it's the end thing. They attracting, I believe, a certain
demographic of people. Yeah.
Yeah, from the 15 to even 11 to maybe 33-year-olds. Ain't no grown ass man 14 years old trying to dress like that.
Yeah, you're right. And really, if you to me, you know, I'm old school. I'm gonna break it back. If you 20, I'm gonna be generous. If you 24 years old and you wearing skinny pants and a mohawk and all, what the fuck are you doing? You're a grown ass man. You know that shit was fine if you were 16 or 17. You know, motherfucker, you been out of high school.
Men aren't growing up.
They're not growing up.
That's an American problem. But men in America are not growing up. They can, you know, their moms are still doing their laundry. You know, listen, when my kids turn 18 and they went out to college and everything, they never moved back home. That's it. I'm not going to allow that.
That's good. Well, like I said before, a guy I spoke with a while back, we both agreed that, you know, in other cultures, in other societies, there is a rites of passage to being called a man in the first place. You know, it's not just turning 18. You know, you got to go out and, you know, I was watching something on Taboo, National Geographic Taboo. These guys had to go and get these big ants. These ants probably as long as your finger, and get this stuff put on their arm and on their hand and on their body and stuff. And these ants had to climb on it and sting the hell out of them, and then take this pain from these tribal tattoos and all this and all that. And if they did not succeed in this, they would be shunned from their society, and they would be never looked up on as men, because to have their rights of passage, you had to endure something, not just be 18 years of age.
Well, what is a rite of passage for a black man in the black community?
So this is the rite of passage. This is the rite of passage I did with my children when they became the age of 13. For 13 years, I told my wife, and be around you as much as they want. They can be around you as much as they want to be. They need their mother love from you and everything like that. But when they become 13, at any given day after that 13th birthday, I'm going to snatch them up, and we're going to go somewhere for the weekend where nobody know where we at except you. You can call and check in, and we're going to talk about things, about what it means to be a man and growing up to be a man.
A good idea. Damn good idea.
And I did this for both of them. And I would let both of my sons know maybe a day, they're 18 and 14. So when I did my 14-year-old, my oldest son was like, I don't know what to tell you. All you need to do is just get ready, and when you come back, you're going to be a man. And we just go out into a nice hotel and just spend time with being a man with no women. And that's the path for men, what men need to do in the black community. Be around men, because a woman cannot and shouldn't teach a man anything about manhood. That's none of their business.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because my son, he lives with his mom. And, you know, I told him, I said, well, and he's 10 now, the 11th in February. I said, well, you know, you got him until 13. She said, why 13? I said, because that's the time he needs to live with me so I can show him what it is to be a man. You know, show him what it takes to be a man. You know, and she thought about it. She said, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I told him the same thing. I said, when you turn 13, you come live with me. You know, and you know, and that's the, you know, so I can show him what he needs to do. And if more, you know, if more people did that, we probably wouldn't have, be in the situation that we're in now. As far as Michael and we, everything is peachy keen, and I'm not even going to touch the wedding thing, the marriage thing. But it's people like that with rose-colored glasses on that fail to realize or admit there is a problem. You know, and, you know, well, the white folk, well, yes, we know white people have problems also, but they have resources to work their way out of it. In the black community, we're so busy fighting each other, you know, destroying our own stuff, that we're falling further and further behind. And, you know, I think like Joe said earlier, you know, we got Indians. You know, the Indians coming in running stores now. The Pakistanis coming in running stores now. Right there in our community. You know, then you got Koreans. What the Koreans running? Barbershop, you know, sewing places, cleaners. Now, where do you see any black-owned businesses at in the neighborhood? There are any.
No,
there aren't. You know?
There aren't any.
Yeah, there are not.
I was going to tell you, in Austin, you know, East Austin is being, you know, what's called gentrification. We don't understand, you know, the black population in East Austin is declining. The black neighborhoods are being taken over, torn down, and nice, you know, apartment and condos are being built and businesses, and they're not black owned.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? The blacks are not represented on the city council. You know,
that's
old, so what they're doing is maximizing the value of real estate. That's what gentrification actually does.
Right. That's Bill and Hillary Clinton thing that they did up in New York when before they got there, when people could own property. Where is that? In Manhattan. Well, I think it was North Manhattan, wherever her.
Are you talking about Harlem?
Is it talking about
wherever,
Harlem?
Man.
Yeah, I think Bill Clinton made a big deal about how he's got an office in Harlem, which is supposed to be a black community in New York City.
Where he got that office at. They said that the property value went up so high that people that had been living there had to move out because they couldn't pay the rent anymore. And, you know, people that owned homes, some of the buildings were torn down. They were given just a little bit of money. You know, that's why I'm not a big fan of living in a building that someone else owns and saying that, hey, well, yeah, that's my house inside of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. But here's what's going on in Chicago. There are several black-owned businesses here in Chicago and doing well. I mean, I will spend several last pennies to go into Sabrina's Soul Food Restaurant. There's black-owned McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Chops. Etc. The beauty store, the women's beauty shop, like the movie Barbershop, that's all over Chicago. But here's the thing. They, some of the owners I do know, they're being asked by the city to, the city wants to buy them out. And if they don't, they raise the taxes. So that's what's going on here. They're forced to leave their nice, you know, so-called Project Inglewood community that is supporting them to leave. Okay, you don't want to leave? We raise the taxes. Some has left within the last 13 years, the barbershops and everything, and when they turn them into parking lots, bowling alleys, you know, and I've seen it within the last 18 years. So that's what's going on here. Here's black-owned businesses that black people are doing for themselves here in Chicago, and we've been told all our life here in the black community, black people, y'all ain't doing nothing for yourself. Do something for yourself. Then when it happens, okay, we're doing something for ourselves. We got the studio record company where Twista came from. That studio is going. Everything that has been built up from the bottom up, started from the bottom, seems like Chicago is sweeping the rug up under our feet. We do these things. Do for ourselves, black man and woman. All right, strong black people, fight the power. It's being done here. But like I said, as soon as it's done, the door is being shut in the door in our face again. That's the problem.
Wow. Okay.
Here's a good business any black person could get into, and any person, but I would, in Texas-made leather purses are big business. And if you could start a business like that, you know, come, you know, get a few investors and just invest in the machine and the supplies and some marketing, and you go up to North Park Mall and or what is that, the Galleria, and get somebody up there, one of the individually owned shops to sell those purses for you. People would be glad. I mean, how many people even look online at businesses in, from Africa, that people, imports from Africa that support women over there? I mean, this is a global issue of supporting communities. In one respect, globalization is a perfect opportunity for people who are feel disenfranchised or poor to get in. I mean, I could just give you several examples of people who sell expensive items to people worldwide where people in their own communities couldn't even afford it. It's like there was this guy, he was he worked at one of the high-tech companies in Dallas, and he wanted to see, he made a bet that he could sell something on the internet. It was back when e-business, you know, just started. So he decided to, okay, he would market pork rinds from Texas. He started making so much money at that, he was able to quit his job.
Hmm.
Okay, but you went into two different areas.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about how easy it is to start a business. It's automatically made people think of brick and mortar. Now, you're in Austin. Alex Jones lives in Austin. He would debate what you've said tremendously, because there are people who try to open up lemonade stands in Austin, and you can't get a lemonade stand erected because of the licensing, the regulations, certification, and bullshit and red tape that a lemonade stand has to go through in order to become a lemonade stand. Now, if you're going to open up
Yeah, it is different. If you're talking about brick and mortar versus
e-business. Brick and mortar versus web.
But in Austin,
I'm starting a web business now, too. Hmm.
Don't believe Alex Jones. We have more individually owned restaurants and little stores. You can make – I know this guy that put his daughter through college, you know, all this money. And so he just gave her this little business, opened up a little sandwich shop for her. She's just open during the day. She's netting $10,000 a month out of this sandwich shop. And because they put it in Westlake Hills, where people have a lot of money, you can charge $8-$10 for a sandwich.
That's not what he's saying.
You know?
He's not saying that you can't make money if you open up a shop. He's saying in order to open up the shop, you have to go through a lot of bureaucratic red tape, which you shouldn't have to.
Right.
If you open it up, if you want to go through all the red tape, you open it up and you know about marketing, how to attract customers, then you're going to be successful.
All right, y'all.
Well, another great show. That's it for today. We're going to go ahead and let y'all get y'all last words in. We're going to start off with Mr. Lowe. Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, my bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is a good show. It was a good show, man. I really enjoyed this show. And it's actually something that we should dig into a little bit more, you know, because I think we can get to the nuts and bolts of this thing, and you know, each one teach one.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm done.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chris.
Hey. All right. Yeah. I enjoyed the great show, and I always like saying thank you for allowing this show to happen and for it to be on air, because without you, we wouldn't be able to voice our opinion in an intellectual way without having very little interruption from others who speak very ignorantly and out of turn. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, they need to be gone left somewhere else and goes somewhere else. Love the show because we're talking about feminism and how I still will stick with how it has destroyed the community, and it is no place for anyone to be practicing. You know, it's another form of underground racism, and that's about it. I love the show. Whoever the lady was, great, strong points, and she is one of the most intellectual people, person and woman I heard since I've been at this show. Good point.
All right. All right. Thank you, Chris. I'm sure Kat appreciate that as well. All right. See you tomorrow.
All right.
All right, Mr. Brennan.
Who you want?
You.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. Great show, Eric. I mean, I've been listening. You know, I've been kind of busy, man. But I, you know what gets me? I don't understand how a person can look at the things that we're going through today and the way the world and relationships and marriages and things is today and even think that this is the way to do things and this is the right way and sit there and think everybody else is stupid and that we're living in the past. I that's just something I don't know. But anyway, man, great show. You know, I like Michael, man, but Michael cool at times, and then some days you don't know who the hell Michael going to be when he come on this show, man. I'm going to go and put it out there like that. That guy got about four or five different personalities, man. And you don't never know which one you're going to get, man. But that's it, man. Y'all stay up, man. I'll listen.
All right, Bernie. Thanks. All right, Miss Kat.
Well, whoever said that, I'm sure he was talking about Ebony and not me. But anyway, I'd just like to say to Joe that I appreciate his no BS attitude toward things. And he may think that I, get mad at him about some things, and that's true. But sometimes he has it coming, sometimes he doesn't. But I do appreciate Joe's ability to see through the BS. And to Michael, I'd like to say I really think that you have a lot of really good, well-formed opinions, but in expressing them, you just have to express them and let people absorb them and not attack them when they don't absorb them the way that you want them to. Because the best way to change a person's mind is to be an example of what you're purporting to be the truth. So anyway, I don't even know what I'm saying at this point.
Was Kat giving me a compliment? I just want to make sure.
Yes, she gave you a compliment.
I don't believe it.
I'm sure his head is really big right now.
Can't be not the same Joe. Can't be.
All right.
But anyway, I love your show. I just love it.
All right. Thank you, Kat. We love having you. All right, Joe.
Well, I'm glad you're back. It's about fucking time.
Okay.
I'm with Vernon. People like Mike, but Mike is too fucking annoying. So,
yeah.
I know you don't like to ban people, but if you do, I'm with you and Vern on that one. And what's the topic for tomorrow?
The topic for tomorrow is dun, 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 emphasis on cool and fly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for sure.
All right, because I like to find out how come black people like grilling their teeth.
Now you know, Thursday is going to be yours, dating in 2013.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Mr. Joe, thank you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. All right, y'all, another great show here on Blog Let's Talk. And, I want to thank Joe, Kat, Vernon, Chris, Lo, Michael, let's see, anybody else I forgot? And whoever's listening out there, because without y'all, I can't have a show. And then in the chat room, had Ebony, Bible by Benny, Michael Hood. Hey, thank y'all for participating as well. Well, here it is. Now, today we talked about division within the black race. And we brought up a whole lot of good points. We really did. However, it comes to a point to where you have to quit. We have to quit saying that it's because of this, it's because of that. Because the more we say it, the more we believe it. And once someone starts believing something enough, you set yourself down right there. It's like getting stuck in quicksand. You know, the more you believe it, the further down you go. The more you believe it, the further down you go. So let's wake up, because there has to be a change. We have to make a change. You can't change anything else until you change what's going on in your house, your community. That's when change takes effect. You know, it start, as Lo said before, train one, teach one. You know, it's easy. You know, make sure your house is in order, then move on to the next. But now don't try and do it if your house is all raggedy too, because that's not getting you anywhere at all. I'm just putting it out there. All right. So those are my closing cost. Oh, Lord, I don't got tongue tied. My closing statement for the day. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Tomorrow's show emphasis on being cool and fly. Of course, we're talking about the black guys and black girls, but we're going to get into that. All right. Well, that's it. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 Pacific. We're going to go out of here with the Winans, and it's time. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm out of here.
Yeah, what's up? I'ma kick it with the line, y'all know. Yeah, Slim, can I kick it? Here we go. Well, it's time to make that change. People of the world.